You're listening to Freed on Business. To talk to Jim and his guests, call 305-541-2350. That's 305-541-2350. Now, back to your host, Jim Freed.
All right, I'm real excited. I've been waiting for a while to have this gentleman on my show. He's Tim S. Marshall. He's an award-winning author. And we have a lot of things in common. While Tim grew up in Detroit and I grew up in New Jersey, we both moved to Miami, real young age, South Florida. And our first job was both delivering papers.
That is true, 100%.
You know, now you went into, you know, selling business equipment. I went into selling real estate. And then we've met here today. Tim, welcome to the show.
Thank you very much.
Now, Tim, tell people a little bit about your background because I just gave them a taste.
Yeah, my background is I'm originally from Michigan. I moved down here when I was 12 years old, and I literally stopped learning from the age of 12 to 20. I was kind of stuck in my own isolation and negative thoughts. I had some problems adjusting to South Florida. But my background goes like this. I enrolled in community college when I was 20 years old, and the counselor told me, I don't know how to tell you this, but you basically have a seventh grade education.
Oh my gosh.
So it was like, great news. So what does that mean? I can't get my diploma in 2 years? So the bottom line is I had to literally learn everything I didn't learn. And it took me 2 years to get a college credit. And I went from remedial math to tutoring in quantitative methods based on doing what was uncomfortable.
I actually did pass quantitative, yeah, but I didn't really like that one too
much. So it was kind of one of those things where, you know, when I talk to people, I always ask them too, or they ask me, what was that moment that changed my life?
Aha moment?
The aha moment. You know, and the aha moment for me was finding a tape in my parents' garage called The Strangest Secret by Earl Nightingale.
Oh, Earl Nightingale.
Yeah.
For sure.
Back in the day.
Oh, yeah. And so what was the essential message that gave you?
You know what the message was is you become what you think about. And I kind of turned that around a little bit, and I started to take notes on basically taking actions moving forward. So I turned that into, you know what, I'm going to start doing what's uncomfortable, and I'm going to start breaking through all these different barriers, self-judgment, self-doubt, fear, but I'm going to act it. And as soon as I started acting it, my mindset changed.
You know, I saw this great HBO thing with Jerry Seinfeld. In the end, Jerry Seinfeld talks about how he's lying in bed and he's uncomfortable. But the minute that he wakes up and starts rolling, then it all goes away and he becomes Jerry Seinfeld. And I think that's true for a lot of people is if you let there and you let the bugaboos in your brain in the morning get at you, you're never going to get anywhere. But if you go down and you put your foot on the ground and you pivot off that foot, you're going to have a good day.
Absolutely. And it's, you know, and I always talk to people about momentum. I mean, you have great passion.
Thank you.
Right? Energy. And, you know, it's one of those things, too, where it's like, and we've talked about this before, about doing what's uncomfortable in a way where it's like you know what you should be doing. And if you don't do it, you're going to be stuck in immobility.
You know, it's very difficult. There's a reason that they're afraid. And a lot of times I like to say that the energy field that comes with the anticipation of an event is me getting prepared to meet the challenge. There is no such thing as fear. It's just me getting ready to meet the challenge. And the only question is, how much is it going to take?
Exactly. And if you look at fear in a certain way where it's like, even if I go back to school, where once I started to take those classes, that fear meter went down. Same thing when I went to outside sales. I was the least likely. I was bottom end of the class. My college professor said, whatever you do, don't go on the outside sales. Your presentation skills, they're not good. So, of course, I went to outside sales.
Well, you know, people buy from people like them. And I don't think everybody has the greatest people skills. But what people appreciate is somebody that gets in the trenches and blocks and tackles. People come to me and they ask me to help them to do a lot of different things. Help me write this. Help me ask somebody. Help me do this. Help me do that. And I'll never ever help them unless they've taken a swing at it themselves first.
Absolutely. And, you know, it's like starting out in sales, right? I had this amazing block of fear of rejection, 100%. And what I did was I just called and called and called and called. And I became the number one account manager for a Fortune 500 company in the world for 10 straight years based on doing the actions, doing what was uncomfortable, creating relationships with strangers.
Now, I've always ascribed to the theory of I'm not making a sale until the person has an objection. People are afraid to get objections. I embrace objections.
I love objections.
Why?
I just love, because you know what it is? It's like I had a day one time where I was like, I made 100 calls. And I called somebody and I said, listen, I made 100 calls today. This is going to be 101. I've been rejected 100 times. Is there any way we can set up a meeting? And here's why. And it was like, you know what? It's like when you take on those rejections too, you start to ebb and flow. You use that trial and error to grow. So you can absolutely take whatever that is and you get more specific and you build up your resiliency and your skill sets.
100%.
I have a question.
Go ahead, yeah. Wanda.
What's the difference between rejection and objection?
Very good. High five to the control room.
Yeah. Wow. I like that one.
All right. Yeah. Well, give her the answer now. All right. Now so you got the hard answer to give.
That is okay. Now I'm going to have to think. All right. So a rejection is somebody just saying no. Well, that turns into an objection.
Why? Why are you saying no?
Why are you saying no?
Ooh, I got you, Wanda.
And it could be a condition. You know, if the condition is that, you know what? I live in Michigan, and I will never need an ocean kayak, and I'm never going to get it down to Florida. That's a condition, right?
Okay.
An objection is that, you know what? I live in Florida, but you know what? I can't afford an ocean kayak. And then you start to work around whatever that is. And
even for the person in Michigan, I would sell them a lake quality kayak that they could ride on the lake. You know, our ocean kayak, it'll do good on the lake too. But it's just listening. It's really listening.
I like that question, though.
Yeah, I know. Well, Wanda's always, she's got great questions.
Man, that came out of the blue.
That didn't really come out of the blue. I saw her raising her hand, so I didn't want. But, you know, that was a really good question. To me, you know, we talked a little bit about the difference between the different goals people have. How should people set their goals?
You know what? I would say this. You know, the small tactical goals per moment, per day. You know, sometimes we look at like the greatest thing that comes up. It's like a Thanksgiving Day parade, the greatest image. Oh, I can be this. I can be that. And meanwhile, they sputter down because they don't do the steps of what it takes to make those little small goals work. So within, you know, building my sales career up, I had little small goals to start my own company. So I began to be a business within a business, but I knew I had to learn, like you talked about that fear meter, start preparing yourself and learning what it takes.
So you had a seventh grade education, ended up tutoring people in advanced math, went to work selling business equipment, making lots of cold calls to people that already had business equipment.
Yes.
And your goal was to have your own company. Can I say it now? Ha!
Yes.
How'd that work out?
Yeah, well, you know what? I opened up a company in January of 2008.
Oh, smart time. Good timing.
Right when the market crashed.
Good timing. And what'd that do? How'd that work out?
I made Inc. Magazine's list as far as one of the fastest growing companies 4 years in a row, and I sold it 5 years later. And I never borrowed any money, and I was profitable every single month.
Well, it sounds to me like we took 15 minutes to give your introduction, didn't we? We're going to be back in a second with Tim Marshall. I hope you're going to stick around and hear some of his tips, because I know I've got something to learn from him. I think you may do it too. And I know this. I've already put to work some of his lessons today. I got trepidation when I was going to make phone calls, and I said, heck, I'm making those phone calls, and I got business. Wanda, rock the house, girl.
Me press trigger, me no press people button. No bad chat come face me with some. Like only have 22 in a me some. Then I feel so.